You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. So today we're going to be discussing, is image theft something to worry about, as well as a few news topics and the usual personal update, which will be very, very brief this week. So as usual, to begin, personal updates, what I've been up to. So no real updates in terms of photography. I haven't been shooting that much. I've been working on these TPE posts, like the resources guide that I just released, as well as I've been writing some reviews in the background, but haven't gotten around to actually really finishing them off yet or being ready to post them. I usually like a certain amount and a certain variety of images in the reviews, and with the Tamron 100 or 400, I'm hoping to get some more bird shots as well in before I actually finish the review. So until I get that, then yeah, nothing for now. In terms of main photos, I don't know, I just haven't had the energy to shoot, and as well as it's been raining a lot, the main shots I want to do is cityscapes at the moment and nature photography, but with it raining or being super gloomy every day, no chance in that. So I guess, you know, it is what it is, but I'll get back to it again eventually, very soon. I have been scouting locations for my cityscapes and that. There's one that I really, really want to shoot from. I thought, you know, there's a lot further away than what it is, and I'd be shooting at like 200, 400 millimeters. But when I visited the location yesterday to scout it, I honestly think maybe even 85 millimeters or even 50 would be okay, which is pretty crazy. 100, I probably have to do a panorama, but I guess we'll see when I actually get there to shoot. Just looking at it from my eye field of view, I'd say, you know, 50 to 85, you could get a decently wide shot, whereas 100 will probably be a bit tighter, but I am going for that tighter look. So 100 it would be, because when I go there, I'll be driving anyway. I can take the 85, the 50, and the 100 to 400, because they're all, the 85 and the 50 are very, very light. And then the 100 to 400, pretty much, yeah, that will be the main big heavy one, but it won't be an issue anyway, since I'll be driving there. As I mentioned, that was a very quick update. So onto the news. So the first news topic is about, from pretty much they're all from Petapixel as usual, but BCN&R has published its bleak camera sales trend report from 2020. So if you're not sure what BCNR is, if you read Petapixel, you'd see that name featured quite often. It's one of the largest databases of electronic sales in Japan, and they generally, you know, post updates each year or quarter on how much this brand has sold, how much of this type of unit has shipped. It does discuss the market as a whole a lot, but apparently a large portion of it going over Nikon's numbers, and that's where it spends. So it says, while the company holds a firm 44.8% share in DSLRs, good enough for second place overall, it holds an abysmal sixth place share of mirrorless with just 4.3%. One of the stories coming up is about a new Nikon mirrorless body, which, although will help, I don't think it'll change that number that much. But, you know, the main reason, we'll go into a bit more detail, but the Nikon Z9 has been announced. The main reason I don't think it'll help the company initially that great is because the cost of that body, it's not something that is made for the masses. It's usually the lower end bodies that are made for the masses and the ones that will sort of really make a difference in terms of sales units. Like Canon and Nikon, they used to sell the majority of the Rebel DSLRs, you know, the families that will buy them, just use it once and never use it again, or the entry level people who are just starting out. Really what they just need to do is make Rebel versions. You know, I'm not sure what Nikon calls their very entry level DSLR, but Canon's Rebel, the T2i 550D kind of thing. They just need to make mirrorless versions of them and push them. So then when everyone's buying them, then they still have those larger profits again. So further in this report, apparently mirrorless interchangeable lens cameras account for nearly 70% of the entire interchangeable lens type digital camera market in Japan. So if you still think that mirrorless is a fad, that it's not going to go anywhere, or if you're like Pentax and you think that everyone's going to go back to DSLRs in a few years, you're probably very, very, very wrong. There's a chart included in this, which obviously I can't show you through a podcast, but it says, you know, it states in the article, the chart above shows that Nikon saw just 36% of sales from the previous year, while Canon saw 55.1%. OM Digital Solutions saw 66.4%, and Sony saw 76.5%. Pretty interesting, those figures as well. I know Canon have had a massive issue with supply. Like, if they had enough R5s and R6s to be able to supply every single person that wants them. It will be very interesting what their sales will be like. But as you know, they're actually pretty hard to get still, even though it's it's about 9 months, I think, since they came out. So it's quite a bit of time for something to still not be in stock properly. So once they are in stock properly, it'll be very interesting to see what it's like in terms of sales volume, that is. I just want to say as well, if I'm struggling to talk, I had some dental work yesterday, which is still like a bit painful and that. So I may not be able to talk as well as usual, but I'm trying. The second news story is about 500px relaunches portfolios. It's template-based website builder. So they're pretty much hopping on the website building bandwagon. So rather than just you have your normal page, which looks like one everyone else, you're able to choose from other models and change the way your portfolio looks, make it stand out and make it look more like an actual website rather than just being, a social media site. And this is included in their pro membership plan. Supposedly their default portfolio layouts are meant to highlight images first and meant to make them obviously look the best and make the images your standpoint, not something else, which is good. 500px does claim that its website builder is different from others as it's made with simplicity and ease of maintenance and lack of an intimidating maze of trying to figure it all out. It's interesting if this will actually be something that people use, because I know the usage on 500px has died down a lot. I still have an account. I haven't uploaded in there in ages. I don't even really browse it, because when I did go on there, I found the majority of people have stopped using it, so I didn't really see the purpose. It's interesting as well, because when you look at the comments on 500px, there was someone going on about, who is this? Is this company still owned by the Chinese? Because the Chinese version of Getty had bought 500px and people stopped using it at that point, mainly because they're worried about their information being sold. But the honest truth is, if you don't want your information being sold, you can't use Facebook, definitely Instagram 100%, even Twitter, all the other websites like that. They all collect some level of your information. Obviously, Facebook and Instagram are known to be the absolute worst, and soon to be WhatsApp as well, once they change the terms and conditions and WhatsApp starts selling and collecting all your information in your private encrypted chats. But until then, I would personally, if everyone was on 500px, I would still use it. The whole my information is being sold thing isn't a factor for me. It's more just, if not many people are using it, then what's the point in using it in a sense? Because no one's going to actually see your stuff. Sure, it does display the images much, much better than Instagram, which is very poor. But I don't care too much about brands seeing my stuff, because although it would be nice, say someone contacts you, wants you to use your image, it's not like a huge priority for me or something that I'm really aiming or aspiring towards, so it doesn't really bother me. The next story, which one excites me, I hope I can be part of it, is Twitter is testing full-size images and feed on iOS and Android. So apparently Twitter announced that select iOS and Android users will notice that they're showing full-size images in their feed. So what that means is, if usually when you post a photo, it would crop the photo. So say you post a vertical image, they have an example there of like a dog sitting in a boat on a lake, and it's cropped it to make it look like a landscape, but really, it's a full vertical image. What they're going to be doing now is they're going to be showing that full image rather than the annoying crop on it. To me, this is like massive. I really, really hope that I can be someone that is chosen to select test this, because I do a lot of vertical images. I know most people do landscape only, but I do a lot of vertical stuff, and obviously they always get cropped. So I'm excited to see what, this can do. It's funny, one of the comments on Petapixel was complaining about how, this means more stolen photos. I think they didn't get the quality of the image display. It'll be the same. It's just, it's not cropped. And either way, this whole episode's about image theft, so we can go into that later, but images are going to get stolen regardless. I would much rather my image be displayed properly, because one issue I see is, if you look at something like Instagram, the photo, when you're looking at in your general feed and you've got like 50 other photos, it's like in a grid, the image will look really good. Then when you click on it, you see like all the issues with it. Might be slightly out of focus, that sort of stuff, but you don't really notice it. It's such a small ratio. It's one of those things that sort of I pick up on and sort of finds funny. Like the other thing, the sort of a minor annoyance for me is how everyone makes a big deal about dynamic range and how you have to protect the highlights. But then I see people shooting, and what they do is they expose for the highlights, protect them, but then they blow them out when they edit the image in post, which makes no sense to me. You might as well just expose for the shadows. Who cares about the highlights? Blow them out there, and then you'll have a cleaner image and it'll look the same I was watching this one YouTube video where this guy, I can't even remember the name even if I was to tell you anyway, so, but he was doing just like a live street photography thing where he walks around, takes photos, and he shows you what the original photo looked like, and then he edited it. And I thought, like, the first few photos, I'm like, this guy's pretty good. And then he gets to some nighttime shots where he underexposes it, so he shoots exposing purely for the highlights, and then when he edits it, he just completely blows the highlights out. Doesn't even attempt to, like, protect them or save them, which to me made no sense. Just especially in low light, if you're going to do it that way, you're going to expose the rest of the image to having more noise because of that when you pull it up, because I doubt he was shooting at ISO 100 if it looked like very dark at night. So just expose for the shadows in that case, unless you're actually going to protect your highlights and make sure they don't get blown out. There is literally no purpose in exposing for the highlights. That's that rant over. We can get on to the next story. Probably the biggest one as well, that Nikon has announced the development of their Z9 full-frame flagship camera. Thankfully, a mirrorless, obviously, because of Z9. So I guess this means no more D7 or D6S, which is a very, very good thing to hear. Nikon need to focus on mirrorless and pick up their sales rather than wasting time with DSLRs. No offense, DSLRs. So this camera will apparently have a newly developed FX format stack CMOS sensor and support 8K video, a new image processor, and it's meant to reach new levels of performance. And that's pretty much it. That's all the info there is on that camera at the moment. They released an image of it from the front. It's got one of those, it looks pretty much like a, you know, 1DX Mark whatever D6 kind of body, where it has the built-in battery grip which is quite interesting. It's clear they're trying to sort of more market it to the people who use DSLRs and want to continue to use that kind of body. This is actually a proper grip as well that has buttons and a dial on it, so it's not just like a dummy battery grip like they previously released where it had no function. This has full function. I'm excited to see what this thing can do, because it would need to have some very, very serious phase detection AF, because that's where generally with the Nikons, their Z bodies are very, very good. It's just mainly the AF. It won't be able to keep up with Sony and Canon currently when it comes to phase detection on sensor AF. So if they can fix that, then they're back in the game easily. Then they can just more focus on lenses and maybe updates to their other previous bodies as well. But they're all still quite new. So since we're seeing this, the Z9 will obviously compete with the A1. And because it shoots 4K video, you know it's going to be at least 45 megapixels. So it'll be interesting what resolution the Canon like R1 will be when it eventually releases. Because if both Sony and Nikon are doing, you know, pretty high resolution, if Canon doesn't, it sort of leaves them open there. So maybe they'll have the same sensor as the R5, which would be pretty crazy, and then just keep it as a very more faster readout. If I was them, I'd probably do it as just the minimum. I think it's 45 megapixels as the minimum for 8K. So maybe 45 exactly, or whatever that is exactly, and then do it that way. So that way you can get a little bit faster readout because it's a lower resolution, but focus on the AF and all that sort of stuff much more compared to everything else. That's it for our news stories. Now we will get on to the main topic. Now, image theft is a very common issue, happens probably every minute. Someone's image is being stolen. Even if you don't know it, your images have probably been stolen and posted somewhere else, whether you post them on Flickr and someone's posted on Instagram under their own fake account, or who knows what, even reposting on Instagram is very common. Technically, even when people post on Instagram in such low quality, people will still steal their images. So technically nowhere, if you post it anywhere, there is a chance it's going to get stolen. So yeah, you have to take that and keep that in mind when you do post anything. You may wonder, is it possible to prevent image theft, and how do I do it? Also, is it even worth it to go to all these lengths to prevent it? That's really a question that's up to you, how much time you want to invest in something that you may not be able to do or do anything about. What we'll do is we'll just go on about whether I think it's worth it and some ways that you can prevent image theft. Now, the main common one that you'll see the majority of people using is watermarks. Now, most people put them just in the bottom left, bottom right, whatever, have a small kind of transparent watermark. Now, depending on what kind of image you have, to be honest, this does like nothing. If you have like a seascape, that kind of stuff, landscape where you have something with not much detail where you've put the watermark, then they can easily clone that out. Photoshop is that good now, especially with its masking, that you can easily clone it out. So in all honesty, the watermarks are not going to protect you much. Some people do these massive, massive watermarks over the entire image. Although those are a lot harder to do, I'm pretty sure that someone will have the skills. Like if you give it to one of the Photoshop guys, Amesh or Aaron Nace, he'll probably be able to remove it, but it also makes that image look ugly to me. It's no point in posting if you're going to have this massive watermark that just covers the entire image. Because, you know, you want the image to look good, but it's distracting. It's like as if you take a landscape or a portrait and they're standing right next to a bin. People would remove the bin or not pose it near the bin because the bin is a distraction. Well, the watermark is a massive distraction, you know what I mean? Another thing people will do is sort of posting lower quality images. But to me, for me, it's not really worth it. I prefer to post high resolution. The whole thing of Instagram is it's super low quality, so people can steal your images, but people will steal them anyway and post them. And if they post them again on Instagram, you can't really tell because of how low quality it is. If you have your own portfolio website, such as something that's WordPress based, there's actually plugins for WordPress you can get that can disable right clicking. So I used to actually have this on my WordPress site, but I disabled it. But what it is, you know, obviously you just can't right click and it'll just say, please do not, no right click allowed. Do not steal my images. You can add your own custom message to it, which, to be honest, it's good if you want to do that. It's one sort of more level of protection, but it's still not going to stop people from taking your images, especially if you post them in quite a high resolution, because all you need to do is just use a snipping tool or a screenshot, crop it, boom, done. Now you got the image. It doesn't really stop you from taking the photos. So just a heads up, if you do use that method, it doesn't work. That's why I stopped using it, because I realized how easy it is to get around it. I tested on one of my friends. He didn't know how to get around it. He just tried to right click or control A to select everything and copy and paste it into Word to take the photo. But obviously that didn't work either, so he couldn't figure it out. But if you know what you're doing, you can easily get it. So not safe in that sense. And the best way to prevent image theft, which is guaranteed 100% to not to work, is just do not post any images at all. If you don't post anything, no one's going to be able to steal it, but then no one's going to be able to see your work either. I know, a bit of a sarcastic one, but I had to throw it in there. Now, so for me, do I think it's worth it? No, because in all honesty, people are going to take your photos anyway. Well, at least majority of the time they will. So it's really just a case of if you think it's worth investing your time and going through all these different methods to stop people from doing it. But to me, like watermarks, it's another step I have to add, which I really can't be bothered. Some people get a bit creative with them, like would put the watermark on the wall and make it look like it's actually part of the scene, or, you know, the sides of someone's shoe have a watermark sitting on the side of the shoe in the actual scene. That kind of stuff I think is kind of tricky and is kind of good. But to be honest, I don't even know how to do that in Photoshop, so that would be a bit hard for me. As I mentioned, I stopped using that plugin. I thought there was no point in doing it. Who cares? And low quality images, I personally always like to prefer to post my images in high quality. I don't care if people can steal it. Stuff like Flickr can choose what resolution you download that. It's not like, you know, if a company, even if you post a high quality, majority of people who will post it would just be trying to claim it's theirs or something. Like, I don't care. We know it's not theirs. If they get any praise for it, it gets popular. You can find it that way because you would know about it because due to the popularity. Otherwise, for me, I personally don't think it's worth it worrying about image theft, all that sort of stuff. But it's really up to you if you want to try and prevent this stuff. You know, it's all up to you. If you find it worth it, you're happy, you can sleep at night, sleep better at night, then yeah, it's worth it for you then that paid off. But for me, don't think it'll ever be worth it. What I always would love to see, I don't know how to make it, I'm not a programmer or anything, but a website where, say, like Flickr, for example, if you post the photos on Flickr and, you know, you can post full resolution, if someone downloads it, something happens to it, which pretty much destroys the data. So if they do anything but, you know, download it the correct way, if you just right click save as or find some way to save it that way, it'll actually ruin the quality of the image. It completely just pixelates the whole image, sort of like an image theft prevention. The other thing, you know, like if you upload a video to YouTube with audio that you don't belong, it actually gets flagged. I'd love something like that on image websites where this AI can detect if that image looks similar to another one, and then if it's the exact same image, then it'll just block you from uploading it. So that way, you know, if I post the image of my cat and then someone steals it and posts the image of it as well, it would know that that's a duplicate and it's a stolen image and will not let you post it. That kind of stuff, like AI-based stuff, would be a lot better to prevent theft rather than just, you know, us having to add watermarks and all that kind of stuff. But who knows if someone be able to create that in the future. If I had any clue how to make it, I would try it myself, but I don't. So yeah, it's not going to be possible. So this is the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry if it was a bit shorter compared to the past few weeks, which it is, but I'd really love if you can recommend some topics. I have been struggling a bit to come up with some more topics that I can actually discuss in more detail. Once I get these reviews done, I can do an episode and discuss the review and all that sort of stuff. But otherwise, if you want to see more stuff from us, you can head over to thephotographyenthusiast.com. All these links are in the show notes, by the way. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that's where I'm most active. I have a TPE Twitter, which will be linked there. I'm linked from the website. Otherwise, you can follow me, my personal one, at Mr. Meowpuss. Once again, I don't just post photography stuff, so you'd be warned about that. It's all safe for work, 100%. But when I say it like that, I feel like it might get misconstrued. But all safe for work, just usually wrestling, gaming, TV shows, that kind of stuff. I post about everything on there. So yeah, I'm going to start my own podcast soon as well. Just a personal podcast that I can talk about all my personal stuff like wrestling, life, TV shows, games, that kind of stuff. I'll let everyone know once it is if you are interested in that sort of stuff as well to hear from me. But until then, you know, I'm just trying to find the right music and that kind of stuff for the intro. Once I get that, then I'll be good to go. But yeah, hopefully I have that ready soon. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Hope you listen again next week or next fortnight, sorry. And take care. Thank you.